Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You don't even know, like, the tornado that happens just before I sit down to record these sessions. Like, it
Why?
I'm literally running around everywhere. Because I'm working in Boston right now, so I'm doing it in our rehearsal space and, like, whatever, so I had to get into the building, la, la, la. But then, like, the plugs don't work. I don't know where I am. And I literally was, like, sweating, yeah, running around. I was like, I'm such a fucking anxious maniac. Jesus Christ. How am I?
Meanwhile, I'm doing like an eye mask, and I'm like,
honestly, Fran, you sit down at the computer, and you're like, "Hi, how's it going?" And I'm like, "It's fine." And then there's always like a tech thing, and I'm like, "Oh wait, you can't hear me." Oh, so ridiculo.
Well, listen, I wanted to kick off today with a game inspired by this week's topic. The game is called, Is It Ugly, Cute, or Ugly Cute? Okay. So okay, I will name an animal, and then you have to tell me if it's ugly, cute, or ugly cute.
Okay. it seems straightforward, but just a question here before I get entrapped, okay? How honest am I supposed to answer these questions?
Oh, DeLon, this is not the fucking SATs, okay? It's just a game. Do not overthink it. I just want your honest opinion.
I feel
okay?
like I'm being set up, but okay. Okay.
Okay. First animal. Flex. Ugly, cute, or ugly cute? And choose wisely, motherfucker.
That dog is ugly. Tell me. Listen, Fran, you know I love your dog. You know I love your dog. That dog is ugly.
No!
Listen.
You should be so glad that I have headphones on and my man can't hear the slanderous things you are saying about him. My man is ugly cute.
He's ugly. He is ugly cute. But, I mean, what precedes cute?
Wow. Okay. Next animal. Next up.
No, listen. We're not moving from this. I love your dog. I love your dog. He's very cute. But
I set myself up. I thought you were gonna be like, no, he can't. No, you didn't even think about it.
Girl, I told you the truth. You said answer the question. Girl, answer the question. He is ugly cute. Okay. Pressing
okay,
on.
Okay. Okay. Next animal. Next animal. Pugs. Ugly, cute, or ugly cute?
Oh gosh! I mean, well, listen, class. She put a pug in here. This pug is having a stroke. This pug is having a stroke. Yo, I think. Come on now, come on, come on.
I picked that picture purposefully. He is going through something.
He's either drooling about to grab a snack with his owner's throwing. No, pugs are ugly cute. It makes me think of Here Comes Men in Black. Remember the dog that was like,
Yes.
They're ugly cute. Okay. They're ugly cute.
Okay, ugly cute. Next up. The proboscis monkey, ugly cute or ugly cute? And please describe for the class what this monkey looks like.
So I don't know. I don't know what evolution was doing. I don't know what evolution was doing. So guys, this monkey looks like a monkey, but yo, it has a really nice mane. The hair, the dye job is cute.
Oh, the hair is laid.
It is. It's like a red. I mean, the roots need to do a little touch up in the top, but it's beautiful orange. Orange, like, you know, faded. But the nose, yo, the nose is like this big teardrop. What is the nose protecting is my question.
The nose looks like a ball sack. It just, it's so...
It really, really does. You know what? Yeah. And it's a well-shaped ball sack. I wouldn't turn it away.
So ugly, cute,
or ugly cute?
I would say it's cute. I think the really? Color.
Now you talked about my fucking dog, and you call this cute?
Wait, if your dog didn't have that underbite, now we could be talking about it.
That's what makes him ugly cute, is the underbite.
Yeah, but what makes this ugly cute? The nose.
I would just say ugly. He's just ugly.
This
monkey is just ugly. Yeah,
okay,
just ugly. Okay. Okay, we've got two more on this quiz. The next contestant on Ugly Cute or Ugly Cute is a baby hippo.
So I think this is cute. The thing, it has these neck rolls that are going that kind of make me go, bleh. But like, it's cute little face, and it's so tiny, and it is really a tiny version of a hippo, so you can't help but go, like you swoon, like you did, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and his like little mouth, you see, like he doesn't have his teeth yet, and he's got like little round eyes. He is very, very cute.
He kind of looks like an alien, though, like what I picture like an alien baby looks like, though, right?
He does look like an alien. All right, and then there is one last animal on our list ugly cute or ugly cute. Benedict Cumberbatch, ugly cute.
Oh. Wait, I thought it was gonna be like some shady shit of like a baby picture of me. What if I'd be like, bitch?
No.
Can you imagine? No, gosh, listen, he's a great actor, but it's ugly cute.
He looks like an alien.
He looks like an alien. You know what? If you watch the second Star Trek, the remake of the Star Trek movie, he plays an alien, and you're like, that feels appropriate.
Amazing. He didn't even have to show up to set early. They said, you don't need to do, you don't need to sit in the makeup chair. Just all natural for the scene.
Listen, he is, but like, he has that model thing. You know how sometimes people are like, oh, this model's beautiful, and you're like, is she though?
Ugly. It's like ugly hot. It's ugly hot. That's
otherworldly.
That's what the models
even
are doing. Otherworldly. Take me to your leader. Put the probe in my butt. That's what he's giving.
Ooh, wait. No.
Listen.
Listen.
Wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it.
Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says, if my trapper keeper doesn't look like an acid flashback, then I don't want it. I'm Francesca Ramsey. I'm an actress, a writer, producer, and former graphic designer.
And I'm DeLon Grant. I'm an actor, a writer, and a photographer. And this week, we're diving into the Technicolor world of Lisa Frank.
Ooh, I'm so excited. And for the unfamiliar, Lisa Frank Incorporated, LFI, which is also this podcast's initials,
hello,
coincidentally, was/still is a media company best known for making school supplies that were all the rage with middle school girls in the 90s. Backpacks, folders, stickers covered with rainbows, hearts, and cutesy little animals that look like they've just eaten a handful of magic mushrooms. Bears, kittens, dolphins, rabbits, giant eyes, multicolored fur. Now that I do not have my middle school goggles on, I can admit that Lisa's stuff was more ugly than cute.
Mm.
But back in the day, I was obsessed. So, Jalon, was Lisa Frank big when you were in middle school?
Yeah, I definitely remember girls in my school having trapper keepers and folders, but evidently I didn't like really, really know. I mentioned that we were doing an episode on Lisa Frank to my friend Caitlin Becker, and she flipped out. Evidently, she wanted Lisa Frank everything but couldn't get it. Her mom wouldn't let her get it. Lisa Frank had you millennial teenage girls in a chokehold. Caitlin told me that she bought a folder with these cartoon bears on it, and there was a rap in it.
DeLon, listen, I was so excited that you brought up Lisa Frank because your girl was obsessed with Lisa Frank growing up, and I just loved the bright colors, the fluorescence. I liked the folders, the pencils, the stickers. The only thing was, I didn't have a lot of it because my mom would always say it's too expensive. So when I did get an item, it was a big deal. It was like a life-changing moment. And I remember this one specific time just like begging, please let me have a Lisa Frank folder. So she said I could have one. So I was flipping through the Lisa Frank folders. And how many times can I say Lisa Frank folder? And I saw, you know, the typical dolphin and the unicorn and the tiger. And I remember pulling out a folder that had these two bears on it that looked like they were rapping. They were holding microphones. They were wearing cool clothes. And I was like, this has to be my folder. I'm going to be so hip and cool with this thing. So I pull out the folder, I open it, and there's a wrap inside. And I was like, okay, this is it. People are going to think I'm so cool. I'm going to memorize this wrap. Can't wait for school. Let's go. Let me read this wrap to you. So before the wrap, it says, Fuzzy Bee and Hubba Cub are a couple of totally rad rappers. They are making major waves in the music industry with their latest smash hit, Rainbow Rap. Here are the lyrics. Check it out. Pink, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. You know what I mean? Rainbow colors, so bright. You will think it's out of sight. It's the Rainbow Rap, and I'm telling you, if you can catch a rainbow, you'll be cool. So there you have it, folks. And you might be wondering, if it's a Rainbow Rap, why do they say pink instead of red? Because it's Lisa Frank, y'all. That's her color scheme.
Oh, my God.
So Caitlin is hilarious. She has been all over the kids' TV scene as a writer, a voiceover artist, and an actor. She's mostly known for the blippy spinoff series Mika on Netflix and YouTube. But you can also find a bunch of her hilarity on TikTok. Her handle is Caitlin.Becker. So that's Caitlin with a K, Caitlin.Becker. Big thank you to Caitlin for being our very first Let Me Fix It story correspondent.
Ooh, okay, maybe we need a Let Me Fix It hotline where people can leave us voice notes and messages about future topics.
Oh, yo, I love this idea. You know what? Y'all should get on our DMs and send it. We want to hear your voices. Send us those yes! DM voice memos at Fix It Pod.
You can also send thirsty voice memos to Delon. He will also accept those.
How dare you? How dare you?
I'm your wing woman.
You totally are my wing woman. So turns out Lisa Frank isn't just an iconic 90s brand and subject to at least one rap song that we know of. Thank you, Caitlin. She actually is a real person, but she's notoriously private. There are only two photos of Lisa Frank online. Not Christina Aguilera. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Well, trust me, yo, guys, if Fran would have found more than one photo of Lisa Frank, because you know a girl loves a receipt. Lisa Frank actually is so private. When she sat down for an interview, that sounds like a being a joke. Lisa Frank is so private. How private is she? Lisa Frank is so private that
her stickers have sensor bars on them.
Listen, here's the thing. I knew you would come up with a punchline. I couldn't have fit anything in there. So she's so private that when she sat down with for an interview with Urban Outfitters in 2012 to promote a collab they did together, she refused to be on camera. So instead, they did an interview with her in silhouette, like she was in the witness protection program.
Oh my God, this interview is so weird to watch. But after doing some research, it was probably because the company's story is messy as hell. Oof. Frankly speaking, this story has everything. Lawsuits, allegations of employee mistreatment, wiretapping, infidelity, and cocaine. So it is no wonder Miss Lisa said, cut the cameras, dead ass.
I see you.
Cut the cameras, dead ass.
At the company's peak during the mid-90s, Lisa Frank was doing over $60 million a year in sales. But by the mid-2000s, things took a turn. And by 2013, the once giant company with over 350 employees had been whittled down to just 6 people. Today, it's nearly impossible to find Lisa Frank products unless you search online or on eBay, and all of their physical stores have been shuttered.
So this week, we're going to unpack how this Technicolor media giant went from back-to-school must to left in the dust. And then we will each pitch how we would fix the brand for today. So let's dive in. This is Lisa Frank. Let me fix it. Lisa Frank was born and raised in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, which is a small suburb just outside of Detroit. And despite having a population of just under 10,000, Bloomfield Hills is ranked one of the wealthiest cities in the United States. Delon, we know Bloomfield Hills.
Yeah, we do. We really do. We know several people that live there.
We know several people that are from Bloomfield Hills because we went to school in Michigan. And there were a number of Lexuses and Mercedes Benzes on campus.
Honestly, though, I didn't know rich until I went to Michigan. I didn't know wealth until I went to Michigan.
Well, I knew some rich people because, you know, I'm from South Florida and there's a lot of rich people. But Bloomfield is a different
kind of rich.
Well, and when you're talking about the number of people that live there, 10,000 people live there, and it's one of the wealthiest places. And talk about it. It's a gated city. Yo, crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. We should keep a running tally of how many of our brand episodes start with somebody who already had money.
Capitalism, America. So a slight factoid, as you know, I want to do. Lisa Frank went to the same fancy prep school that Mitt Romney and Selma Blair did. So again, Richie Rich, okay? Lisa's dad worked in the automotive industry growing up, and she always loved art and always loved crafting. In the same 2012 interview with Urban Outfitters, she said, "My dad was an art collector. My mom had a little kiln in our basement and we would make pottery. I think from about age 5 on, they sent me to art classes and I was a huge colorer. When I was 12, my parents got me a loom. So I was a weaver. I loved reading. I loved to do artwork. I loved to do anything girly." Not a weaver.
Okay, not her sounding like me. She sounds like me.
Totally. Just the black and white version. No, I also was like, not Rumpelstiltskin, the weaver, okay?
Listen, I love a loom. I love a crochet. I love all of that shit.
I know you would. So at an art show during her senior year of high school, Lisa sold a number of paintings and took home around $3,000. Yo, what in the world? Crazy.
I know.
One of the buyers was the former CEO of Chrysler, aka probably somebody who worked with her dad. And again, class, we keep talking about this on the pod, but take note for your future businesses, okay? Remember, it's not what you know, it's who you know, right?
Exactly. And listen, the $3,000 is impressive, but she was already rich. So could she even appreciate $3,000?
Right. Well, and it feels like that faux thing where like your parents go, "Oh yeah, the tooth fairy came. You made your own money, right?" You know?
He was like, "Buy this painting for my daughter or you'll never fucking sell another car in this state again."
The threat.
If you had magically been gifted $3,000 when you were in high school, what would 18-year-old Delon have spent the money on?
Oh my gosh. I probably would have spent it on clothes. Yo, I remember going to, we're going to do a shopping mall episode coming up soon.
Yes, I remember
going to JCPenney like when I was 14 or 15, 14 had to be, and my mom, and being like, "Yo, I don't want to shop anymore." And my mom was like, "Get a job." I got a job. What did I buy? Clothing. I had like 24 pairs of jeans. So clothes. What would you buy?
God.
Art supplies?
Wow, that was a read. No. 18-year-old me, if I'm being totally honest, I would have gotten a boob job. Singular. just the little one. Just the little titty.
Yo, because it was that was such a big thing for you.
Oh, I was in shambles over that little titty. Oh. I wore a fake foam boob all through high school.
I remember you wrote about this. Oh my God.
I totally would have gotten a singular breast augmentation.
Wait, did you know high school students that had gotten boob jobs?
No, not boob jobs, but I knew girls that got nose jobs. A lot of girls got nose jobs for like their 16th birthday. That was a big thing at my school. And like a lot of cars and stuff like that. But boob singular was the thing that I really wanted at 18.
Wow.
So shout out to Lisa, because her entrepreneurial spirit, it really continued once she went off to college at the University of Arizona. Now this story got an eyebrow raise from me, because Lisa started buying handmade pottery and jewelry from the local Native American artists there, and then would turn around, mark it up, and sell it back in Michigan.
As a craft.
Come on, it's giving Lisa Columbus, okay? She eventually did start commissioning the Native artists to make jewelry, things like teddy bears and unicorns, which of course would go on to be signatures of the Lisa Frank brand.
That's just so messed up, because that is how business works. You buy a product, you buy a good, and then you put some packaging around it and you mark it up twice, right?
Obviously, she had like an eye, but at the same time, it's like she's
literally co-opting someone's culture for her own benefit. And she already was rich. It's like you didn't need to take somebody else's designs to make money.
Right. And how about you take a class in some jewelry making, Lisa? Okay. It continued for Lisa. When she was just 20, she launched Sticky Fingers, a plastic jewelry line that would later be picked up by Neiman Marcus and Bloomingdale's. The collection's success inspired her to branch out into stickers and buttons too. In 1979, she renamed the company Lisa Frank Inc. That same year, she received her first $1 million order from Spencer Gifts when she was just 25 years old. Spencer's, we're coming for you too. You know that's an
Spencer's
episode.
We need a Spencer's Gift episode, because who is thinking about Spencer? Who is Spencer? That's what I want
to
know.
What'd you do with Spencer? What happened to Spencer? I did go into Spencer's Gifts when I went home to Minnesota in November, and I was like, remember the, like all of those, the piercings and the cases and like the posters and the t-shirts? I was like, you have not changed the brand at all.
No, it's like going back into time. I will say, I also went to a Spencer's Gifts for Halloween. I bought some pasties. That's right. Ooh. And where do you buy pasties? Spencer's Gifts is the only place I can think of to buy pasties. But you're right. It's really dark in there and there's crap everywhere.
It's just crap. It's very glow in the dark, everything. Very Lisa Frank. So some other Lisa Frank factoids. The company developed a proprietary ink formula to make all of their colors extra bright. It worked, Lisa. It worked. All of the vendors have to sign a confidentiality agreement so their secret color process isn't revealed, which, you know.
I think that is I am so curious how they do that, because whenever you look at their artwork, the colors are unreal. They are so, so bright. Another factoid, in 1993, 13-year-old Mila Kunis starred in a Lisa Frank commercial.
Never forget the day I got stuck on Lisa Frank. The stickers were so cool. The colors were awesome. I gotta find more. So I go to the store, and wow, there's tons of awesome Lisa Frank stuff. I gotta have it. What more can I say?
Booked and busy, Mila. Child star.
Another factoid is that some famous Lisa Frank incorporated characters include Marky the Unicorn, Bunny Ballerina. He's an actress.
Wow. He's trying to get booked.
Okay, you
he's
hear me?
To pop off.
2024, yes. What? You need, I want to get booked, Lisa, okay? Bunny Ballerina, Hollywood Bear. Ooh, that's saucy. And the Golden Retrievers, Casey and Camus. Now, most of these characters were named after real people, often in their memory.
Yeah, and I put a few pictures in the doc of some of these characters. Again, I remember being obsessed with these, but they're so tacky. There's just way too fucking much going on in all of these artwork.
It's way too much, and it's like, I can't even call it like an eyegasm. It's like, it's an eyesore, you know? I'm like looking at it. The best one is the Golden Retrievers, because it's like only maybe 10 colors instead of 25.
I would say there's a folder with some dolphins on it, but the sky is pink and orange and yellow, and there's pink and purple trees in the background, and the dolphins are three different shades of blue. I mean, there's just so much going on in this artwork.
I will say the one character that I am kind of like, is the unicorn. Do you remember that character, yeah? She-Ra, the cartoon She-Ra, He-Man, yes. And She-Ra? It reminds me, because I think She-Ra rode a unicorn, or one of them rode a unicorn. So that like pulls at the nostalgia of my young heart. And then like the wing is all a rainbow, and me, you know, I'm gay. So I was like, ooh, pride.
Listen, Lisa probably stole that shit from She-Ra. You know how she do.
Talk about
it. Copying everybody. So despite the company's massive and quick success, Lisa Frank Inc. quickly earned a reputation as the worst company to work for in Tucson. A 2013 article from Jezebel, The Ugly Business of Being Cute, interviewed a number of former employees who spilled the beans on how terrible it was to work for Lisa Frank and her now ex-husband and former LFI CEO, James Green. One was quoted as saying, "Of course, from the outside, it's colorful. You've got the rainbow, the stars, the hearts on the building, the statue of a panda. But inside was like an abusive alcoholic home."
Abusive alcoholic home. It's so specific. Another employee in that same article said, "I don't know if it's possible to really communicate how bad their reputation was in town. Every person who ever worked there seemed to have a case of PTSD from it. Rainbow gulag is a really apt description." Yo, mm-hmm. Rainbow gulag. Class, do you know how dark that is? Do you know what a gulag is? It's a Soviet Union, aka Russian labor camp. What? Somewhere you definitely don't want to be.
Okay. No.
Okay. So despite the colorful offices decorated with giant multicolored music notes, hearts, stars, unicorns, inside everyone was miserable. It's like a Charleston chew, you know? You know, like, look at you, know what I mean?
Not a Charleston take his strays.
What did he do? Charleston chew is that candy bar, right? It's chocolate. And you're like, oh, it's chocolate. And you bite inside of it and it's nougat. And you're like, what the
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And it's so hard to chew.
It's so hard.
It's like they named it Charleston Chew to like taunt you. It's like, try it, bitch. Try to chew this. And you're like,
It should be named Charleston Tooth, because you're gonna lose one, okay? Shit. So the offices were said to be eerily silent because employees were forbidden to speak to one another. Ugh. According to a number of lawsuits, management would often secretly and illegally record phone calls. And there were all sorts of rules about how staff were expected to interact with CEO James Green.
Here are a few of the rules that were included in the March 1994 edition of the company newsletter, Frankly Speaking. Be loyal. Bosses will forgive carelessness, stupidity, tardiness, and a temper tantrum. Those can be corrected. But disloyalty is a true character flaw. You cannot and will not be trusted.
Wait.
Yo, these sound fucking ominous.
You're giving me permission to have a full-on temper tantrum?
You can be stupid. You can even be stupid, but you better be fucking loyal.
Yo, ominous is a great word, but it's also because it's scary. You're like, wait, what? Where are we going with this?
Oh, yeah. These are very scary. The next one says, keep the boss informed. The boss should be informed about what you're doing, where you are, whom you're talking to, and why. If you must error on the side of overkill. Bombard the boss with bulletins, memos, and FYIs until he or she says stop. No one has ever lost a job because they told the boss too much.
Whoa.
Why would you put this in writing?
why would you put it in writing? And also, like, it just says so much more about your own neuroses. Like, you're really neurotic that you think you need to know, you can know that much about what's happening in your office, right?
You want to know where the employees are, what they're doing, who they're talking to, and why. Like, this is just... This sounds abusive.
It's very abusive. It's also, there's like a checklist where you go to take a shit. You only got 5 minutes. You got 5 minutes in and out. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. This last one really got to me though. These principles will serve you well, whether your boss is a genius or someone who's not too bright. Follow them and you will never fall behind your peers. You will always be regarded as someone who is attentive, responsive, and true.
Wow.
This newsletter is fucking unhinged. It's written in this like overly positive but informal way that's like super menacing. It sounds like it was written by a cult leader.
100%. 100%. This is the Jonestown massacre over here. No, at first glance, one might think that this is a product of like Lisa's Midwest upbringing. I grew up in the Midwest. We have a tendency to, you know, I grew up in Minnesota. There's a thing, Minnesota nice, right? We have a tendency to coat things in honey. We wrap the bad shit in chocolate, so to speak, right? But yo, it not only is it abusive, it feels really manipulative. Trigger warning. I'm going to talk about domestic violence, and I'm not making a joke here, so skip ahead if you need to. But it's giving Ike Turner, you know what I mean? Control, not only talk. I feel like he was talking to the band, the Tina, his kids, everybody like that. It's just abusive language, like you were saying. Disloyalty, tell the boss where you were, who you were talking to. Where's the trust? That's so crazy.
Yeah, it's like the abusiveness, the micromanaging, the like talking down, even the fact that it's like, even if your boss is stupid,
Like, what? Like, even if your boss is dumb, do everything that they say.
And you're making, why are you making that assumption? Why are you even, you're talking about you is what you're doing. You're talking about you being stupid, right? So, and your own insecurity.
Yeah, it's like,
but.
Yeah, exactly. So each Frankly Speaking newsletter seemed to include new and more stringent rules, including no visitors allowed, not even family members. Former employees said that if you broke these rules, you could be screamed at or fired on site. Once, after someone was caught leaving 10 minutes early, CEO James Green had the warehouse manager put chains and padlocks on the downstairs doors to keep the staff members from escaping. Hello? Fire hazard? Did he not hear about the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory? Do you know about this place, DeLon?
What are you talking about?
Oh my God. Okay. So in the early 1900s, there was like this factory, it was called the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, and they used to lock the stairwells because they didn't want the employees to go and smoke cigarettes. They would go in the stairwells and smoke cigarettes. There was a fire and everybody in the fucking building died because they couldn't get out, and that's why we now have fire exits.
Wow, that's fucking crazy.
We never had fire exits. We didn't have fire escapes. We didn't have exits clearly marked or anything. And wow, all of those people were jumping out of the window of this factory because they couldn't leave.
You know what's so crazy? It's you don't think about the rules and regulations we have being caused by a bunch of people dying. Oftentimes, yes, the reason we have them is because something happened and we were like, okay, yes, we have to rectify it. So every time you, yes, go through an exit class, just say a prayer, okay? Because that's crazy.
It's so funny that you say that too, because I always think about that. At my swimming pool, there's a sign that says, if you've had diarrhea in the last week, do not swim in the pool. And I'm like, what? The fuck? What happened? They made that.
Yo, can you imagine just chunks?
Something happened to make that sign.
Wait, also, like, could you, the explanation? Hey guys, I'm so sorry. I had diarrhea. I swam. It's my bad. And they put up a sign.
Gotta skip the pool party.
That is so fucking funny. Wait, with these chains though, not them giving me a lean on me. Do you remember that movie? Free Mr. Clark. Free Mr. Clark. Yo. So,
oh, the recesses of your brain, yo, in order to pick that reference.
Because,
that was good.
So a class, it's this movie with Morgan Freeman. He plays a principal, was based on actually true events, but mm-hmm, he goes to jail because he locked, or he chained and locked the school doors because all these kids that were suspended were riffraff trying to come back, yeah, in. And one kid got beat up and then they jailed him because he wouldn't adhere to school codes.
What's the song they sing in that
lean
movie?
On me.
Is it Lean On Me? It's Lean On Me. Okay, that makes sense.
Come on now. Don't get me started. So back to Lisa's office. They also kept the office ice cold. The rumor was that Lisa Frank Incorporated kept the temps down to keep the employees miserable and on edge. You shouldn't have had a business, Lisa. You shouldn't have had a damn business. You ain't want people to work.
You should have been in your basement coloring by your damn self and leave us out of it.
And also just spend your inheritance because you know you had one, right?
Exactly.
Now, while we can't say for certain who was controlling the thermostat or why, a number of studies have shown that when temperatures are low, employees committed 44% more errors and were less than half as productive as when temperatures are warm, because everybody wants to be comfortable, right?
Listen, it has been a minute since I've worked in an office, a slight flex, but pretty much every place I've ever worked in has been freezing fucking cold.
To your those jobs credit, I don't think you've ever said, oh, I'm hot. She's always cold.
I'm always cold.
And to be fair, sometimes, you know, it is because your boss is trying to freeze you into compliance. And then it also may be that, you know, you're thin blood and were born in South Florida, girl. but it also may be sexism. According to a study published in Nature Climate Change, average temperatures are colder in offices because many of them are using old building codes set by metabolic rates of men. Patriarchy?
It's wild how this shit seeps into every part of our lives. And I'm sorry, I cannot get over how fucking dark it is that this company is literally selling sunshine and rainbows and pink animals and to little girls. Meanwhile, they're straight up abusing their employees. Let's make the office super cold so y'all stay awake. Your families can't visit you. We're going to lock the doors. If you leave 10 minutes early, we're going to fire you. Is this a fucking Saw movie? Like, what is going on?
Well, it's Rainbow Gulag. That person got it right. It is a fucking, it's a prison camp.
I know. And listen, like, the Rainbow Gulag thing is funny, but it's also like not completely a joke, because the only thing harder than working for Lisa Frank Incorporated was trying to quit.
Yes, a number of former employees allege that after leaving the company, they never received the severance packages they were promised, and they were also unable to file for unemployment benefits. Even a greater number of them had to sue to get their final paycheck. What are you talking about? So Lisa Frank said, fuck what you heard, I'm Columbus to the core, okay? She said, who are you? You work for me?
Sorry, I don't know you. Don't know her.
I don't know her.
Thieving and stealing left and right. Come on.
The terrible work culture at Lisa Frank Incorporated made the company into a revolving door of employees. One year, almost a third of the staff left. Between 2003 and 2004, close to 80 people left, many without notice because they were so fed up with being treated like crap. You just cannot treat people badly and expect them to stay. The turnover was also due to the totally random on-the-spot firings, which were often a weekly occurrence.
Crazy.
Here is another quote from that 2012 Jezebel article. A few years after getting fired from the company for talking on the phone with her father, she later sued for wrongful termination, Karen ran into Frank at a salon. I said, oh, Lisa, remember me? I worked for you. And she said, oh, did we fire you? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't really a great employer.
Yo. So Lisa Frank admits she sucked at her job, which, I guess it's a good thing, right? I guess, like, yeah, truly, but the bar is in hell. I mean, know your strengths, Lisa, but if you know them, like, if you know you're a bad boss, hire someone to be a better boss, a good boss, which I guess brings us to her infamous husband, James Green. According to the many lawsuits filed against Lisa Frank Incorporated, Lisa, while awful, wasn't the main culprit. It was CEO James Green, who coincidentally, as we said, was Lisa's husband. So James Green joined Lisa Frank Inc. in 1982 as the company's first in-house illustrator and designer. He and Lisa started dating shortly thereafter, and James quickly climbed the corporate ladder, becoming CEO in 1992. And in 1994, he received the ultimate promotion. He became Mr. Lisa Frank. The couple were married in what was reported as a very extravagant wedding.
The first thing I thought of was, money can't buy a class. Elegance is learned, my friend. Do you know that song?
What is this song?
It's a song by one of the Real Housewives, Countess Luann. Countess Luann's first song is, and Delive, we have to put a clip in here. The song she cannot sing. She's like, money can't buy your class.
Money can't buy your class. Money can't buy your class. Elegance is learned. Friends.
Money cannot also buy you key, apparently,
okay.
Because she is flat.
Or talent.
But the song is really funny. My question for you, do you think that Lisa's wedding dress was rainbow colored? Yes or no?
If it wasn't rainbow colored on the outside, I bet she like had a like some crinoline. Is it called a crinoline? On the inside, that's like,
oh, that's
Fred loves
cute.
It. Fred loves it.
I'm sorry. I love it.
I'm a designer.
That's cute.
I'm a designer.
I love a pop of color. I love a pop of color. The couple were known for being very flashy, fancy cars, private jets. They lived in what was called a nouveau riche monstrosity of a house. According to Lisa Frank, their house was purple and yellow and hot pink, light green, and orange.
Yo, Lisa had something wrong with her. Lisa needed an antidepressant. She was just trying to make herself happy, right? And I say that as somebody on antidepressants.
Listen, no stigma here, but Lisa was taking some magic medicine that was giving her these wild colors. So I thought this was really funny. Lisa and James had two kids, Hunter and Forrest, supposedly named after two Lisa Frank incorporated characters. But the names are also two different shades of green. So their full names are Hunter Green and Forrest Green.
You know what? This is me.
I kinda love it.
I love it.
Y'all, listen, Lisa, James, y'all are terrible people, but you kind of ate that one thing.
Okay. Like it feels like it's a vibe. Like they're like, oof, it's solid. Hunter Green, you know.
Hunter Green, Forrest Green, like those are people who will work for you. They will show up on time. They will put together the PowerPoint. You know, they just sound like honorable, creative people.
They sound like a color palette.
In 1995, at the height of the company's success, Lisa decided to step back from the company and leave James in charge. And once she had her kids, she stopped coming to the office almost entirely. And that's when things got really bad. Now, we mentioned earlier that Lisa is very private. That Urban Outfitters mini doc is so weird. We will put a link in the show notes. She is in silhouette the whole time. And it kind of seems like putting James in charge was like a perfect way for her to just stay out of the spotlight, because that's the way she apparently likes it.
Right.
In the interview, she mentions that people often notice her name on her credit card when she's shopping, and they're like, oh my god, like Lisa Frank, the famous media brand. And she's always like, ha ha ha, what a coincidence.
She just pretends.
She doesn't want anyone to know who she is. Wow. A number of employees said that she was super thin and very health conscious, which is maybe why she is such a recluse. I did put a picture of her in the doc. There are only two pictures of her floating around the internet. This is a picture from 2006. It's highly edited. Who knows what she looks like now? But she was described as a very passionate lady, a little manic, not always there, very over the top, and very colorful with big hair and really big eyes. Dawn, who does she look like?
I mean, she looks like a suburban mom, right? She looks like a Midwestern mom. You know who would play her in a movie? Courtney Cox, but her
Shelley
old
Duvall.
Face. Shelley Duvall.
Okay, my pick was Shelley Duvall. Her eyes, she looks like she ate mushrooms. Her eyes are the size of fucking silver dollars. And I say that as somebody that has eaten some of that magic fungus.
Okay.
So I'm not being judgmental. Her eyes are huge.
It just, I mean, it's a picture, so it's obviously staged, but it looks like, oh, you caught me. Yes. So back to the lawsuits. In 2005, a lawsuit against James included 16 former employees who were willing to go on record about his horrible management style, including swearing at employees, throwing chairs and other objects, and regularly berating people, including his then wife Lisa Frank. Yo, she gave you what you got and you yelling at her?
Yeah, everybody could get these hands.
Okay, in the lawsuit, he's described as abusive, arrogant, and extremely difficult to work with. Meanwhile, Miss Lisa, where were you, girl, at home coloring? And she said, is it your name on the building? Like, what are you talking about? One particularly cruel anecdote is that James refused to learn employees' names and instead gave them little nicknames, sometimes based on their appearance and often outright derogatory.
Now, not that it's an excuse, but it's like the turnover was so high. He's like, I'm not going to learn your fucking name. You're going to quit anyway.
He said, you don't mean nothing to me.
So I'm
going to
call you knock knees.
Uh-uh. You know, it wasn't knock knees.
Listen, Bigfoot.
You know, it was like Bertha or like...
Just
doo-doo face.
Rude. Fucked up. Former employees also described James as a short asshole who reeked of cologne. It is always the shorties.
Isn't it though?
It's always the Napoleon complex is so real. Another person who made Lisa Frank Inc. a living hell was James' right-hand vice president, Rhonda Rowlett, which is a great name, but she was apparently a horrible person.
This quote says, Rhonda is the enforcer. James uses her to maintain control of the employees. Through Rhonda, employees' jobs are threatened and an atmosphere of hostility is maintained. Employees are consistently called to her office and subjected to threats and harassment. Ooh! And while Lisa Frank Inc. was known for rainbow horses, rumor has it that James and Rhonda were riding the white horse. I'm talking cocaine. So, did you like that? I was really proud of that joke.
Listen, the Trojan white horse, okay? That sweaty white horse.
But that's what made them so angry.
Yo, because they were fiending, though. These two were showing up to work high, sweaty, and totally fucked up. They were also screaming at each other. There were reports that of days where James was so high that he could barely stand. A former employee alleged that sometimes James would send them on errands that, in hindsight, seemed like drug deals. He would send them to sketchy neighborhoods to pick up unmarked bags for him and promise them that they would not look inside of the bag.
Jesus, you don't have enough money to like pay some money to have them come deliver to you?
Right.
They don't have delivery service? Oh my God. And while Lisa was not in the office, rumors were also flying that she was also doing coke, combined with rumors that James was doing Rhonda.
Wait a minute.
We tell you that this story had it all? Okay. So by 2000, Lisa had caught wind of the affair between James and Rhonda and filed for divorce. And of course, the divorce was lengthy and messy because James, as the CEO, was tied up in the company, meaning there was lots of money involved.
There was a huge fight to regain control of the company because Lisa, you know, was at high home coloring while James was running the company. And James and Lisa were demanding that the employees picked sides. James allegedly stole computers from the company. And according to a number of lawsuits, illegally wiretapped phones in order to get intel to use against Lisa in their divorce. After 5 years of back and forth, including civil suits and a restraining order against James, by late 2005, the divorce was finalized and Lisa Frank was once again the company's CEO. Welcome back, girl.
Oh, welcome back, Lisa. But even Lisa could not turn things around at her own company. Instead, she, James, and Rhonda were embroiled in lawsuits throughout the rest of the 2000s and all the way into the 2010s. And it wasn't just business that kept them in the courtroom. Lisa and James were fighting over small stuff like furniture and family photos for years. They were so busy yelling at employees and each other that the brand sort of fizzled. In 2010, they signed an exclusive licensing deal with a company out of Delaware that to this day makes and sells all of Lisa Frank's products. So they don't make any of their own shit anymore. There were plans for a theme park, a TV show, a clothing line, which is so smart, right?
So smart.
But none of those things ever materialized. In 2012, Lisa Frank did that collaboration with Urban Outfitters, which we've mentioned, which was very smart. But again, it failed to make a real splash. And many speculate it's because of Lisa's bad attitude that kept them from taking off, especially considering Y2K fashion has been so big. Lisa Frank should be fucking everywhere.
Every fucking where. It's her moment. It's her moment. She's missing it.
She truly is. And despite the brand's waning popularity, they are still doing collaborations. In 2019, there was a Lisa Frank pop-up hotel. They've recently done Lisa Frank Crocs. They also did some kids' clothes with a brand called Posh Peanut.
Here's the thing, Fran, have you been to her website?
Because, unfortunately, yes, I have.
Okay, so why are the backpacks $90? It's this backpack. I mean, as you can guess, class, it's like a backpack with a tiger on it or with a bear on it. It's 75,000 colors, but it's literally the dimensions are like 9 inches by 10.5 inches by 4.5 inches. So it's not even the size of like a ruler all around. Do you want me to pay $90, Lisa?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably a few things. I remember their stuff always being a little higher price point.
Really?
But this is not like super expensive, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't cheap. I'll say that much. But I think this speaks to the fact that Lisa Frank comes from money.
Yeah.
She's been rich a very fucking long time. And to her, a $90 backpack, that's probably going to get lost. Let's be real.
Talk about it.
Where's your backpack? Why are you wearing somebody else's shirt? What happened to the braids I put in your kid right. comes home a mess. To Lisa Frank, she's like, $90, that's nothing.
right.
So I did want to point out that there was some controversy with the Lisa Frank hotel pop-up involving one of my Instagram mutuals, Amina Mucciolo, otherwise known as Studio Mucciolo on Instagram. And given Lisa's history of Columbusing from those Native American artists, I kind of think that she was in the right. So I put some pictures in the doc. Lisa Frank came out with this hotel collab, and it looked a lot like Amina's. Now, at first glance, it's like, okay, but Lisa Frank had messaged Amina about her apartment.
No.
They had slid in her DMs and been like, oh, because her apartment went viral, and they were in her DMs like, oh, girl, we love your apartment. It's so cute. Delon, do you think that this Lisa Frank kitchen and her living room, they look kind of similar?
So here's the thing. One could say colors are colors and anybody can use colors. Yes. And colors are Lisa Brand's brand. And this, Amina Mucciolo, clearly the colors are their brand. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
The kitchen setup is exactly the same. And so it just like, yes, I would question it too, girl, because like there, it's like a wall of cabinets. The stove is in the same spot. The stove is directly, the microwave's directly above the stove, right? It's just, yeah, the color palettes are too similar and the setup is too similar for me.
So I have the same feeling as you. When this story first broke, I was like, well, you know, like Amina's style is colorful and, you know, Lisa Frank's been around for a long time. Like, is it really stealing? Whatever. But here's where the story gets juicy. They reached out to Amina and they were like, we would love for you to come see the Lisa Frank Hotel. Amina looks it up. Bitch, the hotel is owned by the same company that owns her apartment building.
Are you kidding me?
It was literally the exact same floor plan. And then right around the time that Amina started going online and being like, this is fucked up, they're stealing from me, she gets an eviction notice. And they're like, okay, now you need to move out.
Not an eviction notice?
Yeah. And she was it was really devastating for her because she had spent so much time decorating this apartment. And I empathize because, you know, I decorated the fuck out of my apartment. And then she gets an eviction notice. And so she took all that shit down. She was like, she was feeling like they were maybe trying to kick her out so that they could keep all the designs that she had done and make money off of her apartment.
Wait, what was, did you ever find out what the rationale for the eviction notice was? Was it because she decorated that way or something, or what?
She did say that she had some struggles with paying her rent on time.
I see.
But apparently when this happened, she was up to date on her rent, and she said that she had approvals to do all this artwork stuff, but she speculated that it was the combination of her management company owning the same building that Lisa Frank property was in.
Wow.
The story going viral and lots of people being like, these look really similar. And they were like, we need to shut this shit down. And also maybe we can make some extra money off renting out your apartment.
It's so shady. And listen, I'm so into her for taking all that shit down. She said, not only is it my work, but it's my art, right? It's my creativity. My, you don't get it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
don't get it.
Oh yeah. No, she was a bad bitch for that one. Cause fully went out and said, I'll just do it over again.
Okay.
I'll just get a new apartment. And I'll just make up the shit.
She
all
said,
over
this
again.
Is, she said, that was her. And baby, this is me. That was a reference to our, that was a reference to our dream episode we just did last week or week past.
Better have a call back.
Okay.
Okay. So I also put some other things in the doc. These Crocs, Lisa Frank Crocs.
Can we just talk about these Crocs really quick? So I've mentioned this before. I had Crocs when we were 18, freshman year. This is 2002, and everybody made fun of my ass. And now these Crocs are coming back, and they're all bedazzled and bejeweled. It's crazy.
I will say I do have a bedazzled Croc, but I have I do. I wear that. They just are my like running errands shoes. I don't wear them out. I wear them to like walk flex around the block. It is a cream color. Yeah, pick your jaw up.
just my jaw was on the ground. I was like, really? Really?
I was like, is he frozen? Yes, I have a cream colored crock with some little rhinestones on it. It's giving grandma chic, whatever. Totally, but listen, this one is ugly. This has leopard spots on it, and the spots are purple and pink and green and orange and blue,
it's a pink chunky bottom that's also like glittered, and it's giving orthotic because it has like as a chunky heel. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
And you know what? I'm about to do a callback. A pink chunky bottom sounds like a homophobic slur if you ask me.
A pink chunky bottom. No, that sounds like you've been too active. If I can see your pink.
Oh my God. You know what it makes me think of? You know how when you're doing laundry, you gotta like turn your jeans inside out. turn your little ball.
Yo, if the out is coming, if the in is coming out, you are fucked up, yo. I am a 10. She said, you're totally too fucking much. If your in is coming out, you in trouble.
Oh my God. All right, so despite still being in business, their giant Arizona offices are currently listed as available for lease and sale online for the steal of just $13.25 million.
Oh, it's nothing.
Pennies. According to their real estate agent, Lisa Frank Inc. is still operating inside the facility, but just not at full capacity. This past November, on my birthday, Lisa Frank posted a video to TikTok showing off a new paint job for their office, captioned, "We're back." The video is so fucking weird.
It's like two animals, Lisa Frank mascots, holding each other. It's so fucking weird.
It's so fucking weird. There's no talking. The sound is, the audio is very ominous and eerie. It's very strange. And like the comments, the girls are going up for it. They're excited. Really? They're like, the comments on all the videos are like, "Come back, Lisa. We love you. Why haven't you made any products? We need home stuff. We need adult stuff. All of these products."
Wow.
I don't see it for Lisa Frank home stuff, but people want it. They are very popular on TikTok. The videos are short and trendy and colorful, very full of millennial nostalgia.
Meanwhile, after the divorce, her husband or ex-husband, James Green, found Jesus. He completely abandoned his Jewish faith, converted to Christianity, and now he's selling these very ugly religious stationery and t-shirts via his website. We have a couple in here. There's one, it's a gray t-shirt that looks like it's like distressed, right? So it might fit and be comfortable, but it has a big heart on it that says love of God shirt, it's called, but it's $55.
This shirt looks like something that you would find in the bottom of a lost and found box. Yes. It just, the shirt has been worn many times before it's being sold.
The pits are yellow. Okay. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And a little hard from your deodorant. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh my God. There's also, we've got the Word of God shirt. This is $65. It just says Matt, Mark, Luke, and John. It's like he didn't even try. It's just slapped on there. It's like the old, and what's also, these photos look like, remember the old Instagram filters that looked like you had poured coffee on the picture?
Wait, like the very first Instagram filters,
they were like brown. It was like a picture of you and your friends, but it like looked like it was from like the 1800s. Why do his photos look like this? Was he on coke when he made these?
No, he found Jesus. He's clean. That's not to poo-poo anybody's addiction journey or Jesus or anything like that. More power to you. But also, like, I think to your point about the filter, it looks like they took the photo and then they fucking really fucked with it. And they dodged and burned it. And like, really, it's just too much. It's way too much.
There's so much going on. According to the website, he is still working with Rhonda Rowlett, but no word on if they are still romantically involved. But they do have a number of clothing items designed with the help of his son, Hunter Green. Spoiler, the stuff is also fucking ugly.
So we have, wait, we have, I'm assuming that there's this guy modeling this shirt. I'm assuming this is Hunter, just for
us. I think that's Hunter.
Argument's sake. So the t-shirt, guys, is a square box that's teal with music notes, like music on it. And then there's a dog with a colorful ear, like a rainbow ear. Very much Lisa Frank, but very, very bad.
It's like, it's so weird because it's very, because obviously James was an illustrator at Lisa Frank. So right. He was drawing some of these, you know, these animals, but it does look weird because the music notes and then like Hunter, no shade to Hunter. He's giving us like skater boy energy. Totally. And then the shirt looks like something you would see in like the kids collection at Target. Like it's just... The vibe is off.
Yeah, totally. Well, and the dog looks sad. So, I mean, even the dog knows.
The dog looks sad. He's like, these motherfuckers are abusing me. He's like, James yells at me every day.
You know he does. He's like, get on that shirt. Get on that shirt. Dumb.
There's also some leggings. Delon, please describe these leggings for the class.
Oh my God. I know we're in a legging culture, but if anyone came out with these, I would think you was crazy. So I can't tell. So there's skulls on them, but they're multicolored skulls, almost tie-dye, but the waistband is giving you green army print.
Camouflage.
Is that camouflage? That's what it's called. Camouflage.
Yeah.
And the camouflage blends down to the base with all these skulls on it, and then it goes pink. These are terrible.
There's just too many colors. It's just so strange. I don't understand it. No, just all over. They're on coke. They're on coke.
They're still doing it.
They should be more focused. Doesn't make you shit like, you I know, mean,
yeah,
laser.
Come on. It brings it in. Brings it in.
Tunnel vision.
Okay.
Oh my God.
So now that we dug into Lisa Frank's history, we are going to fix it. But first, let's take a quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. Here's my fix for this, for Lisa Frank, because the color, because of the fantasy, the whimsy is a huge part of the brand. I think it might be smart to go into fabric prints, right? You talked about there were brand collaborations and things like that. I think they could really carbon copy their cartoon artwork, but also like give us some elevated prints, not this what we saw from James's brand, but keep it colorful, but give us something that like adult millennials would want to wear, right? I think it would also be smart if they wanted to capitalize on the Y2K return, which we know they really haven't. They could partner with like a Betsy Johnson with some of those prints.
Oh,
come on, right?
Yes.
A Diane von Furstenberg, who does like the wrap dress. Mm-hmm. Like she could use some like millennial prints. I think that would be so cute for spring, summer. Tap into that millennial nostalgia, Lisa Frank.
Yeah, they really, it's so wild that we are having this millennial moment and Lisa Frank is absent from the conversation.
You know what? But I'm putting it in the world right now because you know how we do on Let Me Fix It, Fran.
Yes.
Give it a year. Lisa Frank will be back out here. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
She totally will. So my fix, I have three pitches. Okay, the first one is I would love to see a mini series about the rise and fall of Lisa Frank, but it's like scripted. Breaking Bad style, okay? So it's like you meet Lisa as a kid, she's a great artist, and then she starts getting into drugs, and it's like colorful and psychedelic. Instead of meth, it's all about cocaine being moved through the Lisa Frank offices. I mean, it's just, you know, it's giving Emmy, right? Like, I could see it. The other two things that I thought, okay, so you know how Urban Outfitters also has Free People and Anthropology.
I didn't know Urban that. Outfitters now I do.
It's the same brand. So
okay.
Urban Outfitters is like the young hipster. And then Free People is like, you know, the hippie yoga athlete girl. And then Anthropology is like the rich traveler.
Boho. She's a mom.
She has boho. Exactly. She wants antique furniture at like West Elm prices, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think, similarly, Lisa Frank should create another version of the brand, and maybe it's just called LFI, and it's solids, no patterns, bright, like use their signatures to make really bright colored sweatsuits and leggings, and maybe have like LFI and like a little rainbow or something.
Or like a little
heart or like a little star. So it's like really simple, but it's the signature bright colors, because I'm not fucking wearing these patterns, but I love color.
Well, and I think you can, here's the thing, I see it already. It's like a Lululemon athleisure wear, right?
Yes.
And it's bright, mm-hmm. bright. Everything's mad bright. And then that becomes like the brand. That becomes the cultural moment. It's like neon, pink, purple. Yeah. I see it.
They already have the special color thing that they do that makes all their shit super colorful. And that's what sets it apart. It's like outfits that are way brighter than anything else out there. And then like, maybe there's a little colorful, like rainbow moment, like in each thing. But it's like, have you ever heard of the yoga brand Aloe?
I've seen Aloe their stores yoga. In New York. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all, everything is solid color there. And it's like, it's really kind of taken over. And I feel like, again, Lisa Frank could really corner the neon market. And then my last two pitches are some sort of food collab, I think would be really smart. Like maybe Ben and Jerry's, like ice cream.
Listen, and go sorbet, because you know I'm lactose intolerant. Yes. Okay, bright sorbet.
Hasn't stopped me from eating ice cream. Yes.
I live alone. It's fine.
Yes, I do live alone. Just me and Flex. So I thought that would be really fun. And then my last thing was maybe to rebrand and revamp this bad image that they have. Maybe they do like a charitable back to school initiative where they like sponsor the school supplies for like an entire school. So they do the backpacks, the Trapper Keepers, the notebooks for the whole school. It's a great news article. It's giving back. It gets the name out there. And then all the kids are carrying these, you know, wild looking folders and shit.
Yeah, I really love that, because, I mean, not only is it good PR, you know, it's always good to give back. It's always good to do something that feels altruistic. But you could also make it like a contest thing, like have your school administrator write a letter. And for the every year, Lisa Frank sponsors all of the school supplies for that entire school. And you know
the contest is called Dear Lisa.
I love it. I wanted to circle back to your other one about the scripted show. I think there's I'm such an artsy dude. Ready? Hair flip. I do think there's a lot of potential for that in that. Do you remember that TV show? I think you know the person who did that. It's like a concept-y TV show that was on HBO, and it was just like images and small clips of things, and he was like dating a girl. Do you remember this at all?
Love Life?
Yes, we went and saw a screen. Did you like go and see a screening of that? I think I went. I saw a screening somewhere.
No. I don't know. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about. Oh my God! Wait. Random Acts of Flyness. It's Terrence Nance is his name. Yes.
Yeah. So do like a random acts of flyness type thing where it's scripted, but like you said, it's psychedelic, it's images, right?
You it's like you're tripping every episode.
Exactly, exactly. I think there's a lot of potential for that. So I think that's a good comp for it.
Yeah, no, I love that idea. I was definitely, I mean, like, I know you watched Breaking Bad, but if you haven't watched Breaking Bad, class, get your fucking life together. That show is so good. But like, not, this is not a spoiler, but like, as the meth business is growing, the show starts to get more like frenetic. Like the editing is like all over the place. And like, you know, there's, they have like a steady cam on them. That's like, you know, it's almost like you're inside their mind, or it's kind of like Requiem for a Dream. Oof, where like the whole show feels like you're on drugs. That's what I feel like the Lisa Frank miniseries feels like. So you are so right with that random acts of flyness reference.
Yeah. I mean, do it, Lisa. Do it, Lisa. So class, Lisa Frank, did we fix it? Let us know over Instagram, on our Instagram at fixitpod. You can also email us at letmefixitpod@gmail.com. Now it's time for our favorite segment, The Glow Up, where we give props to those who turn themselves around without our help. Since I went first for the fix, friend, do you want to go first for the glow up?
Yes. And this week I'm doing a stay up.
So ooh, I love it.
Yes, this is someone that has not needed a glow up. They've been up. My stay up goes to Miss Kelly Clarkson.
Oof.
Miss Kelly Clarkson does not miss. I don't think she knows how to miss. The first winner of American Idol.
The first.
And we've had a lot of American Idol alums who've gone on to be very successful. Fantasia, Carrie Underwood, Jennifer Hudson, who didn't even win American Idol, but, you know, has done very well. But Kelly was the first. And every song Kelly has put out has been a fucking banger.
Yes.
Banger. The voice has always sounded good. She ain't missing no notes.
Yo, did you see that? Did you see that clip of her in like some restaurant where she was like, "Dah!" and like just singing, singing her ass off? Yes. I was like, damn.
Just singing her face off in a coffee shop. I saw a clip of her on the street. Some girl was singing with a little microphone on the street, and Kelly Clarkson's there, dressed down in sweatpants and sunglasses, dancing with her. The girl hands her the mic, and Kelly, just starts belting her face off. She sounds amazing. It's like 30 degrees outside.
Unbelievable.
She ain't warmed up. She sounds amazing. Then Kelly's like, you know what? It's not enough for me to have all these fucking Grammys. I'm gonna have a TV show. And then the TV show is a fucking hit.
I haven't watched it.
Is
she a great host?
She is a great host. She's so warm. She's engaging. She's funny. She's very clever and quick.
Yeah.
It feels like you're watching two friends hang out. And then she has a segment called Kellyoke. Listen, if I was a pop star, I would be scared for Kelly to cover one of my songs. Because Kelly said, Billie Eilish? Nah, ma'am. It's a Kelly Clarkson song. Now, she's doing covers every episode and sounds amazing.
Wait, so she sings every episode? I mean, that just makes so much sense. Yeah. That she has to sing every episode. That's the brand, right?
Sometimes she sings with a guest, which is like super fun, and it's cute. It's not my, I don't normally watch shows like that, but yeah. Every time I see a clip, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm not like a daytime TV show watcher or like even really a talk show watcher. Reason I was like, she was in a season of talk show hosts they were giving away shows, right? RuPaul had a TV show for a minute. They were just throwing spaghetti on the wall and seeing what sticked. And so I was like, oh, girl, like everybody gets a talk show. But you know what? It stuck. It's doing very, very well, clearly.
It is consistently rated very high. And I will agree. I felt the same way where I was like, why is she getting a talk show? It just seemed so like weird to me, but it's really, really working for her. And I will also add, and again, I don't know Kelly Clarkson. So maybe behind the scenes, she sucks, but her persona has always been so positive. Mm-hmm. She's never in scandal. She never is saying, now listen, don't fucking embarrass me, Kelly.
Okay.
I know you're listening. Don't make me regret saying this, but she never really in anything. And then I don't know if you saw this, as she got divorced,
right?
And she had to pay a huge settlement to her ex-husband. She took care of it. And she handled it very professionally. She really didn't take any shots at him. She did like one song that was like that. She did like a cover of that song, ABC Fuck You or something like that. And she made a little joke about her husband and it was very, very cute.
Mm-hmm.
But she really keeps it cute. You know what I mean? She's not running her mouth on social media.
Her business
media.
Is not in the street.
I don't really know anything. I don't know what her kids look like. I don't know anything. And I love that for her. And I would like it to stay that way.
I agree with you. And I mean, it may be that she was like also, she's like a mainstay in our like millennial kind of coming of age, right? American Idol, that first season. American Idol was so big for us when we were in high school and college. We may have a soft spot for her, but the other thing is I'm just rooting for her. Like when someone's talented and someone's cute and someone's genuine and sweet, you just root for them. I can't wait for her to get another Grammy because I haven't really heard any of the bangers as of late, Kelly.
She's taking a break from music. I think she has a new single out. I will also say this. I could see her being an EGOT winner.
Ooh. Oh, because she would get an Emmy for the TV show. Yeah. What would she get an Oscar get an for? Emmy for the, like an Oscar for writing a song?
She could get an Oscar for a song. She could also, I don't know if she can act. I didn't see that Kelly, the American Idol movie. I don't think.
Kelly and Justin Forever, whatever.
Kelly song? And Justin. Yeah. What is Justin fucking doing?
So Justin actually just closed the Britney Spears musical on Broadway, which evidently was trash. But he was supposedly so good in it. Everyone I know that saw it was like, yeah, nothing to write home about, but Justin Guarini was unbelievable. So kudos to you, Justin. And remember that? Wasn't there the 7-Up commercial he was in or something?
It was a Dr. Pepper commercial.
Dr. Pepper.
Yes. He was dancing around. Shout out to Justin Guarini. We could probably do an episode about him.
We're about to.
We got to put him on the list. All right. Enough of from me. What is your glow up this week?
Okay. So my glow up goes to all of these vanilla babies out here on TikTok. So listen.
Jack Harlow? Is that what they're calling it? Vanilla babies?
Vanilla babies. Listen. I'm not on TikTok like that, you guys. Fran is slowly trying to get me to get on this TikTok and get these viral vids. I'm studying slowly. But for those of you who don't know the reference or aren't on TikTok like I am, aren't plugged in, there's an artist named Jack Harlow who has a new song called Lovin' On Me, which it's a bop.
I'm vanilla, baby. I'll choke you, but I ain't no killer, baby. She 28 telling me I'm still a baby. I get love in Detroit like Skillet, baby.
It's a bop. I can't deny it. But it blew up on TikTok because there were all of these people we've coined vanilla babies, which are just white boys making videos dancing to his song. Now, why is this my glow up? Because listen, I'm giving it to Jack. Jack, you have helped your brethren out here find this beat. I have never seen so many white men find a beat and stay on the beat. I will also say
the bar is truly in hell. It's kind of nice seeing white people just be white. They're not trying to do anything other than be vanilla.
I mean, well, listen, I will say, it is black music. It is a black beat. Yes. Sorry, Jack. Well, it's cultural appropriation. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it out. But, you know, it's black culture is American culture, evidently. And who cares if you take it at this point, I guess.
Well, DeLon, there's also a line in the songs that says, I don't like no whips and chains. Well, always makes me kind of, I don't know about that part.
And there's the rub. And there's the fucking rub. I don't like no whips and chains, but keep on loving on me. It's giving slave something there, Jackie.
And the other line is like, I'll choke you, but I ain't no killer baby. Right. I'm vanilla baby. The wordplay is clever, but it does make me cringe a little bit. But you're right. The white boys are embracing this song.
They love it. Well, and also, if there was a line about consent in there, Jack, I think we might be able to swallow it a little bit. Swallow it a little bit better. But Listen, I will say it's a bop. There are even dance moves. They're choking themselves with slapping and all this shit. There's one dude with a Rubik's Cube out here. The Rubik's Cube guy.
He is having a moment.
Yo, he's done several of the same video with different clothes on, and people are out here just commenting on it. So Jack, you know, I'm giving it to you. You got these Vanilla Babies out here moving.
I did not know they were calling themselves Vanilla Babies. I had no idea. Well, class, that is our show. And now, of course, we want to hear from you. Did you have a Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper, a backpack? What would you do to revamp her brand? Or maybe you would like to suggest a TV show, a celeb, or a brand that we should fix in a future episode. Hit us up on Instagram at FixItPod or email us lemmefixitpod@gmail.com.
And as always, if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app. I'm DeLon.
And I'm Francesca.
And this was
Let Me Fix It.
Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.